Let us now turn to read God's word, and our reading is from the New Testament and the book of Galatians, Paul's letter to the Galatians, and we are going to read at chapter 6. Galatians and chapter 6. Let us read and hear God's word. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Paul is here talking about the problems of the sins of the flesh, and particularly he's highlighting the sin of pride. And if one should fall into it, the responsibility on others to put it right. But it's important what he says at the end of that first verse. Consider thyself. We've always got to be careful when we do deal with others, lest we are taking any glory or any pride to ourselves. And particularly if the fault is there in us and stimulated by the way we do things. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the way communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially to them who are of the household of faith. You see how large a letter I have written unto you with mine own hand. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them, and mercy, and upon the Israel of God. From henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. And we look to the Lord to grant to us understanding in that reading of his own holy and inspired word. Let us continue our worship singing again his praise, this time from a portion of Psalm 34. Psalm 34 and at verse 8. O taste and see that God is good. Who trusts in him is blessed. Fear God as saints, none that in fear shall be with want oppressed. The lions young may hungry be, and they may lack their food, but they that truly seek the Lord shall not lack any good. O children, hither do ye come, and unto me give ear. I shall you teach to understand how ye the Lord should fear. What man is he that life desires, to see good would live long? Thy lips refrain from speaking guile, and from ill words thy tongue. Depart from ill, do good, seek peace, pursue it earnestly. God's eyes are on the just, his ears are open to their cry. Psalm 34 at verse 8 to 15, five stanzas. Oh, taste and see that God is good. Will you turn with me this morning to the portion of scripture we read there together, and to Galatians chapter 6 and to verse 9 of that chapter. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. These are words of encouragement not only to the Christian, but to all who may be seeking the Lord sincerely for their souls. And I want to take it in that widest possible application this morning. But I want to start by thinking of an episode that took place in Acts chapter 14. And there you have Paul preaching and making known the gospel in Lystra, the city. He stirred up a great amount of opposition, and the Jews were so angry with him that they stoned him, beat him up, did him over. He was dragged out of the city as if he was dead. But the Christians took him, ministered to him, and he recovered. And what did he do? But he went back preaching. It would have been so easy for Paul just simply to give up. After all, he was that close to death itself. But he did not give up. And there we have to see and to focus upon the motivation that he had. And simply ask the question, why? Why did he do it? Not so much the first time, but why did he do it the second time? What was the reason that kept him going? Something had gripped Paul. We could easily say, and we have spoken often about it, he knew the love of his God. And he knew the salvation which the Lord God had brought in the coming of Jesus Christ as the Savior. And Paul had tasted of the sweetness of that gospel. He knew the light of truth in his mind. He felt peace in his soul. The one conclusion that he would come to very quickly, this gospel, yes, it's a good gospel. And as he engaged in making it known to other people, to experience the things that he himself had experienced and known, he was engaged in doing good. And you can see the way in which our text would apply to him. He was not going to be weary in well-doing. He would not give up on it. The battle was long. Oftentimes the battle was hard. But Paul was not going away. He was not weary in what God had called him and given him to do. So he knew the battle. He knew the consequences in himself. He knew this danger on a daily, ongoing basis. Constantly the threat was with him. The danger was at his feet, round about him, time and time again. Why are you carrying on doing this? Just give it up for the ease of your life. You're weary, you're growing old, you've traveled long, you've suffered much. Give it up, Paul. And he knew what it was to answer that temptation. He knew what it was to face that doubt. And as he fought it and overcame it, So now he is giving encouragement to others round about him and with him. The New Testament is not written in a vacuum. It's not pure theory. Here we have a pastor caring for his people. He's dealing with real problems and real situations that they and we might have to face. He is addressing difficulties that time and time again come into the Christian's life. They're not limited to one time scale or to one area or to one culture. This book and this particular danger that Paul is identifying here is something that is found always with the Christian, wherever he or she might be. It's something that comes to you and to me, even now, today. It comes to every one of us. We can sometimes feel that weariness. And it comes from the same enemy, and is bringing about the same end. And it's there to stop, to silence, to thwart us. Yes, there are times when the people who wrote the New Testament, they had to deal with temptations that were coming from the left and the right. They had to deal with mixing of truth with error. They had to address imbalances and false emphasis that were being brought in to the gospel message. But here, there's nothing wrong. That's not what has been addressed. Paul is simply speaking to his people and speaking to us who are tired along the Christian path. They're going in the right direction. They're walking the right path. But they're a little down. And they're shuffling. And their heads are bowed. And to that kind of person then, and to any of us who feel that that's us today, Paul is saying, don't be weary in well-doing. And so therefore this morning, let's think of what Paul is saying to us here. And the first thing that I want us to think about and to spend time looking at is the character of this work itself. We've already mentioned Paul's assessment of it. What was he doing? He was engaged in something great and noble. He was engaged in well-doing. It applies, yes, to the Christian. To the Christian's pursuit of sanctification, service, to developing worship, to promoting the Christian character and lifestyle. But as I said at the very beginning, these words also apply to other Christian experiences. It applies to those and gives encouragement to those who are promoting and to following out a Christian interest for themselves. Just a few weeks ago, we had the words of Haggai. And he said to us, consider your ways. To bring about reflection with us. And these words apply to those who are engaging in the words that Haggai shared with us. When we reflect upon our life, don't be weary with that reflection. When you're concerned about your soul, when you're seeking the Lord, and you're looking for Him and waiting upon Him, and perhaps there is a delay in an answer coming to your needs or answer your prayers. And maybe there's a weariness creeps in upon you. Paul is coming beside you. And Paul is saying these words, don't be weary in well-doing. It's a noble work. And it's a great delight. And because it is that, the devil will try to put you off, to distract you, discourage you. There are many, many people in our society today, and there are many interests and involvements for our time. But there is nothing better than to cultivate our Christian character or to improve our relationship with our God. People will say to us today, well, why are you not engaged in helping your fellow man? Why are you not engaged in improving the standards and provisions in society, promoting a better environment? These are the kind of things that will be thrown at us from social, from political sources. But whatever is said to us, nothing. Nothing is more important for you and for me than the Christian dimension to our life. And whatever others might say to us, and whatever things might be set before us, these things can indeed be pursued and followed by us. But they are all the better when we have a Christian approach and attitude in doing them. Take time then to look at our experiences. Take time and to see what we are engaged in. We are engaged in well-doing. It's not an easy thing. Paul gives us that already. It's not an easy thing. It's not something that is a one-off thing. It always is recurring, this well-doing. We are going out after high and noble aims. And there are obstacles and dangers along the way. We may sometimes think, well, it's just beyond me. It's just out of my reach. It's just too far. And when that comes upon us, especially then, we need to remember we are engaged in well-doing. Let's break it down into very specific, practical areas. Last week we had these Bible notes, the Christian Broadcasting Bible notes, a little portion for each day to start every day with. And we may sometimes let slip, be it that way of reading our Bibles or our own personal scheme of doing something like that. But sometimes we let that slip. It's a busy day we've got in front of us, and we immediately throw ourselves into the busyness of that day. Or maybe we're always looking over our shoulder at someone else who might see us reading our Bible, and we're a little bit afraid of what they might think of us when they see us doing it. Or maybe what we're reading is just a little bit difficult to understand or to follow or to apply. For these and many other reasons, perhaps, we might just leave to one side the reading of our Bibles. But it is good to have a day set before God and to have something of a thought, a theme, a text, to linger in our minds as we go through the busyness of a day. It is the best start for us. It gives us strength and purpose, and it brings the whole day with all of the interests before God for His blessing. And when we start the day in His company, then we can walk through that day still in His company. looking to him for the blessing and the favour, for the provision and the protection that might come at us suddenly, unexpectedly along the way. Yes, we're engaged in well-doing. Don't be weary in it. It's good for us. Or again, we think of what we're doing this very moment. We come to church on a Sunday, morning and evening. And maybe there are times when we think for a Sunday morning service, I'm not going to bother today. It's been a tiring, demanding week and I'm too tired. I want to catch up with other things that I've neglected. Besides, there's only a few in church anyway. What are they going to achieve when they gather together? Why should I go when there's only that few? And we come weary. But remember that we're doing well. We're well doing. Because God has done something great. God has something great and good to tell our souls. It's worthy of our attention and it's worthy of our attendance. It concerns my soul and it concerns his son. It's about the biggest problem that any one of us can have. The problem of sin. And the Lord God has devised in the counsels of eternity, the Lord God has devised a wonderful solution to the problem that you and I have. It's a solution that brings peace. It holds out a glorious hope for all eternity, and it is freely offered and made available through the preaching of this gospel message. Listen to this gospel. We are involved in doing well, in doing good. Don't be weary, but keep listening. Or again, you might think of the midweek meeting, the prayer meeting. Yes, there's even fewer there. Yes, the question might be asked even more forthrightly. What are they going to achieve when gathering for that meeting? What do we achieve? We bring the needs of others and their concerns for them before the Lord God. We seek good for them. We must never lose sight of what we're doing. We are speaking with God and we're calling down from heaven God's spiritually rich, gracious blessing on ourselves, on our society, and on others. Don't be weary in that well-doing, in coming and gathering together the prayer meeting. As a nation, there are many needs that are set before us. There are many areas where people will say there's this and there's that to be achieved and accomplished. But the greatest need that we have of our nation today is to have great preachers of this gospel. We need people to herald it and to catch the ear of the people and the nation. We need people to preach with a reputation that will be respected and will give credibility to the hearing of the word. But not only do we need preachers like that, we had them once and they've gone from us or been taken from us. But we also need praying people. People who alone or in groups might be engaged in that battle with spiritual forces, bringing down blessings upon us and our land. They are engaged and we are part of them in well-doing. And coming week after week after week, yes, sometimes there can be that thought of being weary in it. But to be like that, we need to stop and just think of what we're doing as we come. We are standing in that gap between society and God. And we are bringing the needs of others before God. And we're asking God to be gracious and merciful to our people and our nation. Yes, these areas, but let's take it right down on a very personal level to the Christian believer. Well-doing, that surely must apply to the shaping and the moulding of our character in the likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are things that we've got to put off that we once were doing. There are things that we were never applying ourselves to that we've now got to put on. There are habits of a lifetime that have to be broken and to be removed. And these habits have deep roots and they've got a strong grip in our life. And it's a great personal battle to unroot them and to remove them from our life. It's ongoing day after day after day. And there are times when that battle gets on top of us. And we've got to be, like Paul tells us here, don't be weary in well-doing. And the motivation, we spoke about motivation there at the beginning. The motivation is important here because we've got to remind ourselves, why are we being molded in the way we are? Why is these changes to be brought about? Yes, these are sins and things in our life that the Lord condemns and have to be removed. But we've also got to remind ourselves of where we're going. We are being prepared for glory. We are being prepared for that place prepared for us, where there is no sin, there is no spot, there is nothing that would offend the holiness and the righteousness of God. And that same quality is to be found in us, those who will be there. And so therefore, when we're engaged in this work of clearing out the debris of our life, when we're engaged in this work of moulding our character in the likeness of our Lord, we need just to keep going by thinking of where we are going and who we will be with there. So there we have it. Different areas we can take it and apply it, and that by no means exhausts its application, but gives an indication of where we can go with this truth. We are engaged in well-doing in many different areas. If you are seeking the Lord, if you are seeking and setting yourself against the battle, against forces in the battle, and you're looking for something for the good of your soul, you're engaged in well-doing. Therefore, let this counsel come to you. Don't be weary. So that's the character of the work. We've spent some time in it, and I want you to dwell upon it for I want you to dwell on it for that application to her life. But I want to go on to think secondly, not only of the character of the work, but I want us to think of the condition that has been identified here, that of being weary. Being weary is that tendency simply to give up, to lose heart. And I simply want to go in right away to specific examples where we can identify that weariness for ourselves. Remember what the Lord said in Luke chapter 18. He taught his disciples to pray and to faint not. There is that weariness that can come in prayer. Not just at the prayer meeting, but on our own, alone with God. We might be constantly asking the Lord for something, and yet nothing is happening. Our expectations can be dulled. We can settle down and accept things the way they are, that nothing is going to change. And we become weary. We pray for ourselves, we pray for our families, we pray for our congregation, our church and our nation. We keep persistently in prayer, we keep bothering the Lord, if you wish to put it like that. But there doesn't seem to be anything happening. And we become weary. Perhaps in prayer we come and we're bringing God's word before himself. We might even hold on to a promise concerning that word. Isaiah 55. The word of the Lord will not return to him void, but will accomplish the purpose to which he has sent it. In the midst of chaos, when we don't know the way ahead, who are we going to rely on and where are we going to turn? And all of the morass and all of the pressures of society today, we hold on to God's word. We hold on to a promise from the Lord. We've put it to the test many times in the past, and we've been strengthened by the answers we've been given. We hold on to what the Lord has said. But then we begin to hit a brick wall. This is the promise, but nothing's happening to fulfill it that we can see. And doubt begins to creep in. We begin to slacken our grip on the word and the promise of God. A weariness that we've got to fight against. What about what we're doing again here this very morning? We're preaching the word of God. We believe that it is the way God has appointed and ordained for the preaching and the spreading of the gospel. We seek to water the preaching of the gospel with the work of prayer. To explain, to expand God's word, to make it known to people today. But again, when you look at the preaching of the word, there seems to be so little effect of it in our day. And people are prepared to take in substitutes and be engaged and involved in other things. And what does that often tell us? It sometimes can tell us that people are weary. Weary in what God has appointed and ordained for us. We've got to stick to it and hold on to it. Or again, just think of the Christian's life. Go to the experience that is given to us in Psalm 73. Here is the Christian walking in the path of righteousness. And there is the Christian, he says, I have washed my hands. I have kept myself pure. And what's happened to me? All of these things have been piled into my life. Problems have been multiplied and have been raining down upon me constantly. Day after day there's a new difficulty, a fresh problem. Day after day there's something there that shakes me to the core. The Christian's life. And we can sometimes shout out to the heavens. Does God know? Does God know what's happening on earth below? And again, that very shout can sometimes rise because of weariness within us. The same Psalms. Let me just quote one more. Psalm 77. We have these simple words. Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? We come to God's house. We come to services, whatever be their appointed time or special designation. We come with our concerns. We come with our fears. We come with a whole complex of problems. You and I, different, each one of us. But we gather together just like this before God. And sometimes that very word of Psalm 77, has God forgotten to be gracious? We come with our expectations and they're not met. We come with great high hopes and we go away without them being fulfilled. And we become weary. We become weary. We feel the heavens are like brass. We feel the world is so strong against us. And the question grows and grows and grows in our mind. What's the point? And what we need is to hear what Paul is saying. Do not be weary. There is a stickability. There is a true grit that is required of us. Take the example. We looked at it some time ago. The book of Ruth and Naomi. Naomi left and went to the land of Moab because there was a famine in Bethlehem. And yet when she went away looking for great things to provide for her need in Moab, the Lord did not fulfill these things to her. Hard times. And she said, the Lord has sent me out full, and the Lord has taken me back empty. And sometimes we can be just like Naomi. We can be empty. And we can be weary. And the Lord is calling us not to give in to that temptation. Not to give in to that thought process. Yes, we become tired in the work, but not tired of the work. What we're doing is a great delight, and we know it to be that. What we're doing is a great joy, but just for a moment, we become weary in reaching out our hand, either in faith or in work and service. All of the problems are multiplied. They're aggravated. And we struggle just to keep going. And it's made all the worse with our own character and our own situation. And when others round about us seem to be getting on so easily and so quickly. be weary. And how are we going to solve that problem? Yes, the character of the work. Yes, the condition that he sets before us. What's the cure for it? Again, just let me throw some ideas and words and themes at you. First of all, whenever the doubt begins to be whispered in your mind, don't listen. People might suggest, remember what Peter said, I'm going fishing. And all the others joined in with him. People might say the same to you. They're weary, they're giving up. Don't join in with them. I'm stopping. Don't do that. Don't listen. Keep going. But not only don't listen, also don't accept what is said. Some people get used to things round about them that don't change. Nothing's happening. We've got to take Isaiah chapter 40. They that wait upon the Lord, what does it say about them? They shall renew their strength. And if we find that our faith is flagging and weakening, then we don't accept the situation round about us as it is. But we seek to wait upon our God to strengthen our faith. That when everything else is against us, when everything else is going in the opposite direction, we can still stretch out our hand and hold on to what God has said. And we can ask the Lord to fulfill it to us. Don't listen. Don't accept. Don't substitute. You know the way in which many people who are alcoholics, when they talk about their experience and you'd ask them how did it all start, it comes down so often just to one drink. I just started with one drink to keep the buzz in my life. Something was missing and something was lacking and drink supplied it. And there was that buzz that they got and kept getting bigger and bigger and they wanted more and more and so they came where they are. Don't go for substitutes. Something to fill the emptiness or to overcome the weariness. Don't go to anything else but stick to the path that you know. Is it Jeremiah? Jeremiah, I think, says it. When you're at the crossroads and you're asked which is the way to go and it's pointed out to you, this is the way, walk ye in it. Don't go for substitutes. But in the midst of whatever situation you might be like, stop, think, and keep going in the way that you know to be right. Yes, the character, the condition, the cure. I want, just as we close, just 2 minutes, please, to think of the climax to it all. We are told, in due season, we shall reap if we faint not. We shall reap in due season. There is something good for your soul coming out of what you are now doing. There is something good for your soul coming out of what you are now doing. You might be weary. We might be weary now. But think of it in the wider picture. Think of it in the bigger perspective. There is a blessing, yes, for your soul if you persist in doing good, seeking good. But there's the bigger picture still of the glory that the Lord has and will bring his people into. We might say another service. We might say another meeting. But let's add to it this. Another day. One day. Why I will see my Lord face to face. And nothing will intervene to spoil or to shorten that joy of being with the Lord. In due season, we shall reap if we faint not. Whatever duty you've set your hand to do, doing well. Whatever stand you've had to take or to make, in doing well. Whatever opposition you've had to endure, whatever path you've walked, purpose you've fulfilled, or person that you're seeking, you've been engaged in doing good, in well-doing. And there will be a great reward and a spiritual good for your soul and for others from the things that you've engaged in now. Keep focused, because there is that due harvest to come. Remember what the Lord said to those who were engaged, those who were involved, those who were in his kingdom. He says, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." The climax that we're looking for, that approval and that welcoming by our Lord. So today I ask the question, where are you? Are you on that Christian path, pursuing a likeness of character? And are you on that path heading for that heavenly city? The battle will be long and hard along that way. Don't be weary, but keep going on, focused on where you're going and who you're going to meet with. Are you interested? Are you seeking? Are you searching for something for the good of your soul? Obstacles in the way to deter you and to put you off. Barriers that you won't overcome. Doubts you've got to face and scatter. Don't be weary. Don't rest until you rest the interest of your soul for all eternity. Don't rest. Don't be weary until you rest the interests of your soul for all eternity in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. And trust in what his death brought about on Calvary so long ago. Don't be weary in well-doing. Let us pray. Our Lord and our gracious God, again we bless thy name for the way in which thy word comes with all of its power, addressing us where we are and speaking to us in our need. For the way in which thy word addresses us with all of the practical consequences and significance of daily life. And we pray, Lord, that we might hear and heed what thou dost say, and that we might take what thou dost say to ourselves. Lord, encourage thy people. Strengthen us in the way we go. And we pray that thou wouldst be gracious and merciful to us along that path, bringing us to the desired haven. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen. We close this morning by singing from Psalm 42. Psalm 42. And we're singing from verse 8 through to the end of the psalm. His loving kindness yet the Lord command will in the day. His songs with me by night, to God by whom I live I'll pray. And I will say to God my rock, why me forgets thou so? Why for my foe's oppression thus mourning do I go? 'Tis as a sword within my bones when my foes me upbraid, even when by them, where is thy God? 'Tis daily to me said. O, why art thou cast down, my soul? Why thus with grief oppressed? Art thou disquieted in me, in God's still hope and rest? For yet I know I shall him praise, who graciously to me the health is of my countenance. Yea, mine own God is he. Psalm 42 at 8 to the end. His loving kindness, yet the Lord. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship, communion, and blessing of the Holy Spirit